Good morning. This morning's scripture reading will be from Proverbs chapter 30, verses 24 through 28. And I will be reading from the New King James Version. There are four things which are little on earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in summer. The rock badgers are a feeble folk, yet they make their homes in the crags. The locusts have no king, yet they all advance in ranks. The spider skillfully grasps with its hands, and it is in king's palaces.
It's a good reading for Mother's Day, don't you think? Get back to that in just a moment. Let me at least say happy Mother's Day. And I've been thinking a lot about my mom this last week. I think about my mom a lot anyway, but just this last week, I've just really been just thinking about, as Rod said, you know, just what our moms have done for us. I know not all of us have had that experience with a mom, unfortunately, and that's one of the great blessings in Christ is the way that we connect with other people who become moms to us, and that we can be moms to some of you ladies. And it's just a blessing to be a part of the family of God. So we do appreciate all of our sisters in Christ and the different roles that you play in the lives of the church and the lives of our families. And, you know, I'm sorry so many of you missed the surprise birthday party we had yesterday for Brian Wilcox. We called it a work party, so, you know, he wouldn't know. But we had a great day celebrating Brian's birthday with him. We did have to do a little bit of work, though, so, you know, he wouldn't catch on. But we had a catered lunch, had some birthday cake after that, and we got a lot of work done. So, as Tim said, just really appreciate everybody who could be a part of that. And Brian, happy birthday. Day afterwards, it was good to be with you. Now, there's a guy who comes to a work day on his birthday. It was a pretty cool day. It was a lot was accomplished. Well, if you were listening to the reading a few moments ago, I'm sure you were, you heard about some small little creatures. And, you know, as I was preparing this lesson today, I was thinking about how small things can have such an impact on you. For example, a splinter. A splinter can kind of ruin your whole day, you know. I mean, it's amazing how you can just ache and hurt from a little splinter. Mine usually aren't quite so easily removed, I think, as this one was. But, you know, small but packs a wallop. Or how about a mosquito? I mean, we think about just the pesky bites you sometimes get in places. But, you know, mosquitoes have spread more death on the face of the earth than probably about any creature through the spread of malaria through the centuries. And still, it's amazing the kind of impact that that little thing can have. Or a chihuahua. And they're small. I realize I have to tread lightly on this one for certain obvious reasons to some of you. I'm sorry, they just don't drive as well as they think they do. I was following a chihuahua down Beach Boulevard the other day. Didn't even signal. I think they have trouble with the paw. I think getting the paw up. But you know, they're mighty, aren't they? A virus. A virus is a small thing. A termite eating your house even as we speak. Termites can do a lot of damage. They're small, but they're mighty. And of course, a ring is a small thing, but powerful at times. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that one. I was thinking about wedding rings. I'm sorry. I don't know how that got in there. But you know, you think about small things. God uses small things or insignificant things at times. Now, we know the power wasn't in the staff, but have you thought about how much God did with that staff that Moses was carrying around with him? Stretch it out over here, hit this rock, do this. It's amazing how God just chose to work through that, or five loaves and two fish create quite a miracle in the hands of Jesus, or the sling and five stones that David used, small, insignificant, everyday kind of things, and yet they had a power to them. Even the teaching of the kingdom by Jesus when he refers to it as a mustard seed, something small, but something that makes a great impact. Not just small things, small people, or people that you would think of perhaps as being insignificant. God has a way, doesn't he, of choosing such when he wants to do a work. When God determines to choose a nation and family and to build a nation and a family out in the world that will bless all the peoples of the world, he chooses a barren couple pushing 100 years of age and then brings a child. When God determines to set up a messianic dynasty a son of whom will rule forever and ever in the person of the Messiah. He begins with the last born son in the family of Jesse, the boy who's out taking care of the sheep. And then when God determines to spread the message of salvation to the world, he chooses fishermen and tax collectors and women, many of whom of this group had checkered past. It's just amazing how God works through the small and the insignificant. So we may not be terribly surprised that the heroes of our text today are an ant, a coney, a locust, and a lizard. Proverbs 30, it's one of those sections in Proverbs 30 where it's a section of numbered lists. There are four things that do this, there are three things that do this, four things that do that. I know what you're thinking. Turn the page, virtuous woman, it's Mother's Day. Right? That's what you're thinking. It's on the facing page. Proverbs 31, come on, it's Mother's Day. And you were talking about lizards and locusts. But, you know, I will admit it's a counterintuitive choice. But as I was reading, I just got stuck in chapter 30 this week. I couldn't get over to chapter 31. But we'll look at the first couple of these little creatures, these small but wise creatures today in Proverbs chapter 30. We had the text a moment ago. There's a couple of changes in some of the wording here. That's a little interesting from what Alan read a moment ago. Four things are on earth are small, yet they are extremely wise. Ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer. Conies are creatures of little power, yet they make their home in the crags. Locusts have no king, yet they advance together in ranks. A lizard can be caught with the hand, yet it is found in kings' palaces. Kind of an obvious paradox here in the text that there are small, insignificant creatures that yet seem to accomplish some pretty great things or surprising things. And the reason is their wisdom. They are, as the text says, extremely wise, or the wisest of the wise, as this phrase implies. Now, the book of Proverbs, of course, is a book of wisdom. And a very important point is being made in this little text that we have today. When you take what he says here about these small creatures, he's really talking to us about the importance of wisdom in our life. Because you can take something that seems insignificant, something that seems small, something that seems powerless, and yet if that one can acquire wisdom, they can accomplish great things and be used in mighty ways. Wisdom triumphs over physical strength. Wisdom triumphs over ability and money and power. Wisdom is more important than these things. God places a high premium on it, and so should we. And that sounds like good advice from a godly mother. So that'll be our Mother's Day thought today. And each of these creatures in Proverbs 30 teaches us an important principle about wisdom for our own lives. And the lessons are on kind of a variety of levels, as you would expect in the book of Proverbs. There's a very practical type of application that we find in each of these little creatures about just our life in general, life on the job, life in your education, life in your neighborhood, just life as you go through it. But there are different levels of application as we look closer at these principles, especially when we as Christians begin to reflect on them from a spiritual point of view. We'll see different levels of application of these same truths to our lives spiritually and individually, how they impact us, but also together as we think as a community today, how these truths apply to us as a group, how God can use small things. You may feel small at times. You may feel insignificant. You may feel like you're just one of so many, and how can life amount to anything? And the church sometimes may seem so small in our world with so many forces that are at work. But this is a passage and four little creatures that remind us that if we give our hearts to the wisdom of God, if we give our hearts to the wisdom of God, God can still work powerfully in us and through us. And so we start with the ant. Ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in the summer. Now, the first thing that captured my attention on this text, when it said they have little strength, I'm thinking, are you kidding? Ants are amazing. Ants can carry these big, huge loads, so much proportionally than anyone else. And, you know, then I have to kind of sit back and say, well, yeah, that's true, but, you know, I can kind of squish 50 of them with the heel of my shoe. all at once, you know. So they're not all that, you know, they're not all that powerful, are they? I can, with the garden hose, just kind of go down and there's 10,000 of them out in the street, you know what I mean? So in a sense, they're not really all that strong, even though they might be able to carry a lot of weight given their small size. But what the wise man is telling us about ants is that they have foresight. They look ahead. They have foresight. They, in summertime, store up food, because in the summertime, food is plentiful, and they store up the food in the summer because there are no harsher times are ahead. A future reality, this thing that's coming at them down the road, and it may be far off, but it's there nonetheless, that impacts their behavior today, their present behavior. This is the quality where you see the demands or the needs of the future at a time when it might not be obvious, and you work today with that future goal in mind. Foresight. It's a very important part of wisdom just for life, isn't it? The importance of planning ahead. You know, that's like the whiteboard every Wednesday night is what I do. I always run out. It always happens to me. But planning ahead, you have a future goal. Is there a future reality? Is there something in the future that you know inevitably is going to come and get you? Then you plan for it. You look ahead. You have foresight. I think in terms of when I was in school and when I was in college, just some practical applications. When I was in college, you know, you have the tests, the midterms, the finals, the term papers, all that. And I had a friend by the name of Carter Kearns who turned all of his term papers in, all of them, the week before midterms. And then had the entire, see, Carter didn't know what the last week of school was for. That's when you sit up all night and type those papers, you know, all night long and struggle to get ready for your final. I hated Carter for this. He was a good friend, mind you. But it's like, well, you know, second half of the school year, I want to be focused on that final. Oh, man. But you know what? He was. He did very well. He would plan ahead. He had foresight. He thought, you know what? The last day of school is coming, and we're going to have papers due, and we're going to have tests to take, and I don't want to be up the night before hoping I get enough sleep to be able to make sense in that final. It's just common sense, isn't it? That's this wisdom of God, this foresight. If there's a job that you're looking for, if there's a job that you want, and there are certain requirements, maybe some of them are educational, some of them are experiential, then you set out your course. You start working today for a future goal in mind. It's just a part of the wisdom of this passage. Ellen and I are going on vacation next week, and I'm so excited. And I just decided this morning, maybe I should lose a little weight before I go. I'm really going to try hard this week. I'm going to try really, really hard this week and see if I could lose maybe, 30 pounds. You know what? I should have started like 6 months ago. I didn't plan ahead. It's a lesson I kind of need to learn. Health, finances, retirement. God is saying, look, you may not be the smartest person in the world. You may not have the most money. You may not have the whatever. But you know what? If you've got some foresight, you can do some things today in your life that will make a difference for your future. You can take steps today in a variety of ways that will impact your future. Well, this, of course, is something that we take to another level. It may just be good, sound, practical advice, but oh, it's so true for us spiritually to have foresight, to do the things today that need to be done because of what we want in our lives. When we think about the kinds of relationships that we want to have, the kind of friend we want to be, when we think about family relationships or those of us who are married, what kind of relationship do we want with our spouse or as parents with children? When you think of all of these sorts of things, you have to work today to make that relationship what you want it to be in the future. It doesn't just happen. These vital parts of our life don't just materialize. You have to do the hard work today to have the kind of relationship you want. If you want a good marriage, you've got hard work to do in those early days and through all the days of your marriage to build that sense of faithfulness and fidelity and communication, all of those things that we need in our relationships. If you want your children to be faithful to God, to be men and women of faith when they grow up, you don't start when they're in high school. And, or just maybe hope that it turns out okay. It starts when they're so small, and you teach them and you impart the word of God to them and talk to them and model the faith to them and have them grow up in that atmosphere and in the community of the church, that that's part of their life and their family. If you desire to be like Christ, and we all do, we desire transformation. We want to be more like Jesus. We want to have strength to stand up against sin and against Satan and temptation and to face trials faithfully, because there's so many things that come against us in our lives. We've got to do the hard work today for what's coming down the road. Those things are happening. It starts so early in our life, with being in the Word of God every day of our lives and studying and tasting and eating and feeding our souls on the Word of God and developing an internal prayer life and relationship with God that gives us strength. Because when those days come, that's not when you start. Now, some people are driven to God in such times, but God calls for us to have foresight, to realize if you want to be like Jesus, well, then there's some things you need to do today if you want to be more like Him in the future. Think about somebody you admire. Think about a Christian brother or sister that you just admire. There's something about their life of faithfulness. Maybe it's the way they've endured some trial. Maybe it's just the way they seem to be filled with the Spirit of God and with the fruit of the Spirit. You see it in their life. Or the Word of God just is constantly expressed in their life and in their speech. And they seem to know the Word so deeply. They didn't just wake up that way today, did they? That's a lifetime of preparation. That's doing the work every day because of what they wanted in the future. I had a friend who was given some advice years ago when he was in college. Early on, and I think he was a freshman in college, and he was in a Bible class or something, and the professor said, go find the funeral of an elderly faithful Christian and go to it. You don't even have to know them, just go to it. You don't have to, all of us, of course, but I've attended a lot of memorial services and funerals through the years, and I know what the professor was saying, because when you go and you listen to some of these stories and you see the faithfulness, the depth of faith, what a person went through, how they were strong, and you see, if you have an opportunity to get a glimpse, you see those moments in their life where they took those steps, where they were doing the right things. You see how it all turns out. And that's this principle that we find. There's a future. There are goals in mind that we have spiritually. And we need to be doing the work today to make it happen. And perhaps one of the things that should get our attention most of all in this discussion is when we look to the future. When we look to the ultimate future. The end of this world and of time, and in a moment that draws nearer every day. You know, a vision of that reality puts life in perspective, doesn't it? If the ant looks to the winter time and prepares food for the summer, what about men and women who look to the return of Jesus Christ and the end of all things and the renewal of all things? Can you imagine the impact that has on my life or should have on my life today? Practically speaking, in the way I live, in the call to holiness, Peter says we ought to be holy because this day is coming. We ought to be sharing the good news of Christ with the lost because this day is coming. The return of Jesus, the future, has such an impact on our lives. This tells me now, this tells me today, when I have to decide how to spend my time and my money, this future event tells me what is important and what is not. What is worth it and what is not. What has value and what does not. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. That is coming, folks. It is a certainty. It is that future moment, the last moment in time on this side of things, and that day approaches. A person with wisdom plans for that day and lives today with this day in view. And that wisdom then blesses, becomes a blessing to their life as they have that relationship with God, as we serve, as we become more like Jesus. Like the ant, we look to the future and we prepare and we work today. I'd just like to add to that, congregationally, we need to look to the future. obviously to this future, the return of Jesus. That's the one vision of the future that really sets the stage for us and gives us our marching orders. It shapes everything. But the future of God's kingdom on this earth, as far as it is within our ability to imagine, our future as a congregation, looking forward to the future, working with future goals in mind. And we've talked a long while back about California Bible Adventure. That's something that's been developed for our kids. A couple of Sunday nights ago in our congregational meeting, we talked about the MOPS ministry. Lord willing, it will be starting in the fall. These are ministries that, quite frankly, not only are about the present, but they're about the future. They're about reaching out to kids and having an environment in our church where kids can come and really be connected with God and the Scripture and the Word. And we're visiting children when they come with their families, we'll find that. And the MOPS, the Mothers of Preschoolers Ministry, is a way to reach out to young people or younger people in this community that need the gospel of Christ, that also need friendships and can find that in one another. And we want to be that link and that ability to network those people together, but also to then bring them to Christ. We look to the future. Even the building renovation that Rick mentioned last Sunday morning, and we talked about in our Sunday night a few weeks ago, it's not like we're just sitting around home watching HGTV and say, you know, we need to do something with that space. You know, we need to make it, you know, if you don't watch HGTV, you don't know how important the word space is today, but it doesn't mean that anymore. It means this is a space. Oh, I love this space. I love the orange and blue. I love what you've done here with this space. That's not what that's about. That's about making the best use of our space, but not, you know, and also to create a welcoming environment for people who will come in, who will have a good first impression. There'll be a good place for fellowship and for coming together. It's about looking to the future. And as leaders in the church, and all of us, though, really, we need to be looking to the future, looking to the future for the church. What can God make of us? What can God do through us? What can He accomplish through us as His people? How can He reach out to the community, to the lost, through us? You know, I mean, we're looking, we're longing. We want to reach out. We want to build up the body of Christ. And one of the questions for leaders, as leaders look to the future, how can we equip the church for this? How can we encourage people to dream, to have their ideas, to bring forth their ideas, and to let their talents be put to use in the kingdom? And so we do look to the future, and we pray, and we do dream, and we do imagine, and we seek God's will. And the new ministries that we've just highlighted a few moments ago, they come from the congregation, and people there who are getting involved with them are people who are concerned about the church and about the future and about the growth of the church and what God would have us to do. But as we look and as we think and as we dream, then we have got today to get up and work and do it and serve and minister and make it happen. That's what the ant does. He looks to the future and says, I need to get after it today because of what's coming in the future or what I want to have in the future. And that's the same thing for us. Here's my proverb for the day, my Mother's Day proverb. Mothers would appreciate this, I think. Laziness is not a spiritual gift. If you think it is, you've read 1 Corinthians wrong all your life. Laziness is not a spiritual gift. Sitting on the pew, if you're able to get up off of it, is not an option. God's people all are needed, and you are needed in this church family to be a part of moving toward the future. And you know, the church may seem so small in a high-powered world. It may seem so insignificant. And our little family, our little part of it, even more so. But God calls us to wisdom. He calls us to the wisdom of foresight and says, look to the future. Think with me. Dream with me. Pray to me. And then He can be at work in us. And something else that just struck me about ants is, you know, when you do that thing with the hose, you know, you have that one little line of ant. Oh, let's get rid of that, right? What happens? What happens when you get the garden hose and you wash them away? I'll tell you what happens. That's what happens. They pour out like the bazillions, and they are all over that thing. And now the stream is like three times as wide of ants going through. It is amazing to me how they are spurred on by their future need. And they get right back up after it. Whatever happens, they are, I mean, I guess so you could pull out the raid and put it to an end. That's kind of what it would take, death. But if there's breath in those little guys, if they breathe, I don't know, somebody have to help me with that. But I guess they have to breathe, don't they? The ants breathe? Okay, thank you. I got science class over here. They don't have lungs, do they? How do they do that? Anyway, that's tonight. Come back tonight, and we're going to... We'll have that worked out by tonight. The internet's a wonderful thing, so we'll get that worked out. But you know, sometimes somebody comes along in our life and just kind of washes us down the sidewalk, don't they? Or the church, or something happens, it's like there we all go. Oh, there we all got washed away. But you know what? Just crawl right back up and get after it. They're spurred on by the future. We got time for just one more today, the coney. And you're thinking, what in the world's a coney? Well, that's a good question. A coney, your Bible might say a rock badger. I think a rock hyraxes. I think that's what, this might be a rock hyrax. A rock hyrax is in Kenya. John used to feed them by hand, which we found out probably wasn't a real good idea. But he did when he was a kid. There were a lot of rock hyraxes. Coneys are creatures of little power, yet they make their home in the crags. The wisdom of these little guys is their understanding that they are dependent. They have a sense of dependence. They're fast little guys, but they can't maintain their speed. They can't run away from predators. They are easily run down by just about anything much bigger than that. Even, you know, large birds feast on them. So how do they manage to survive and to thrive? They make their homes in the crags, in the rocks. They realize their deficits, they realize their weaknesses, their vulnerabilities, and so they live in inaccessible places. They know that they need protection. The most courageous badger in the world is no match even for a small lion or a large eagle, and it's wise enough. Here's the wisdom of the coney. It is wise enough to know that its strength does not rely in becoming belligerent or working out 3 days at the gym and getting real buffed up so he can take on its enemies. He knows my only hope is to live in the rocks. But if I get in the rocks, I'm safe. I'm home free. Aware of their weakness, these little creatures rely on something greater than themselves. And I think of practical applications. There's so many, but just one quick thing. One of life's important lessons, just generally speaking, is our need for humility and to realize our limitations and that we can't do everything, that we don't have all the answers, just generally speaking, that we can't make it on our own and that we need other people. We need other people. We need to depend on others. We can't be so independent that we make it through life successfully and with fulfillment. I know we all have different levels of needs for folks, and some of us are a little more introverted than others. I'm not talking about that sort of thing, but just the matter of fact that we need help from people to reach the goals in our life. Those things about job or education or finance or work, we're not masters of our own fate. We can't make all of these things happen ourselves. We lean on others. And let me leave that behind for just one other thought today that's even more important than that. And that is the wisdom to realize that without God as our helper, we're completely lost in this world. We may need to reach out to others, but we more importantly need to reach out to God. We are not self-sufficient. When it comes to those goals about relationships, about marriage, about family, about the raising of our kids, the desire to be like Jesus, to be transformed, to have power to overcome sin, to face our trials with courage, to find meaning in life, to face death, you know what? You're not going to find that on your own. You're not going to find it in your own intelligence, however smart you may be. You're not going to find the answers in science. You're not going to find the answers with human ingenuity. The answer is found by recognizing your and my weakness and vulnerability and taking refuge in one mightier than us. Psalm 62. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for He is our refuge. I can't make it through this life without God. And you know you can't either. I can't make it through this day without God, let alone my life, my problems, my questions, my doubts at times, my insecurities, my needs. We can't take a step. We're fooling ourselves. Wisdom dictates an understanding that we need to flee to the rock. Oh, we have to stand. We have to be faithful and so forth. But it's a greater understanding that we depend on someone else, and how true that is, not only individually but as a church. We're going to go forward. We're going to move forward. We want to reach people. We want to do something different. We want to reach out in new ways. Whatever it is, we know we can't do that on our own. It's not like putting some human formula to work and it always works and it comes out right. We understand our dependence upon God, that He's our strength. David said, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. God is our rock as a church. God is our refuge. He is our stronghold. We look to the future, yes, and we work hard, yes, but we lean on God for everything. We lean on God for our strength. We lean on God for our wisdom about the future. We seek Him. We turn to Him, and we rely on His power for everything that we do. And God, through this tiny little creature, I think is just reminding us we're vulnerable, we're weak, we're defenseless on our own. Not only do we need one another in the spiritual life, and what a blessing it is to have one another, to live in a family of faith. But we need God, who alone empowers us all and strengthens us all. We may be easy prey alone, but we're not alone. We all live together in those rocks. And God is the rock for each one of us, and we live in the shelter of His care. And we know we're small. There's no doubt about that. Nobody has to convince me that I'm small. No one has to convince me that I'm insignificant. But this is a passage that says, you know, if you give your heart to the wisdom of the Lord, if you truly give your heart to God, to His wisdom, and learn from Him, He can work powerfully through us. Look to the future. Let your life today, let it feed out of what you know the future is holding for you and what you long to be in Christ and where God wants to take you. And with foresight, begin to do today what you need to do and depend at the same time on the strength of the Lord to make it happen. I think of, just thinking this week, seems unrelated to the sermon, I know, but in my head, it's connected. I was thinking, Jesus started with 12 apostles. Day of Pentecost, there's 120. Population of the Judean province at that time was about 4 million. 1 in 30,000 was a believer. Small, insignificant. From a worldly point of view, absolutely no power or strength or prestige. Nothing. Nothing. They came to Christ. They came to faith, with wisdom and the power of God. and they gave their lives over to him. And look what happened. Look what God did. We ourselves have benefited from their faithfulness. I have no idea, nor do you, what the future holds for us individually, for us as a church, for our community, our nation. But I know that with God's help, with eyes continually fixed on what God would have us do in the future, it will give us the direction for how to live today. And it's because of that, it's just always an exciting time to be a person of faith. Because God is still there, and he's still at work in your life, and he's at work in the church. And he's doing things that we may not even see now in terms of preparation for things that are yet to come. So today, though we be small, let us give our hearts to the wisdom of God. Let's look to the future, the ultimate future of Christ's return, but also the future of what God would have us to do and to be now. And let's do something today to make those things a reality, understanding we can't do it. But with the help of God, our rock, he'll lead us forward. How blessed we are to live in him. And among us today, there may be someone who doesn't have that same sense of confidence because you're not yet in Christ. You don't have the forgiveness of your sins, and you don't have the sense of a future that bodes well for you because you're in Christ. Oh, we would proclaim to you our God and our rock and his son Jesus Christ, to come to him, to build your life on him, to confess your faith in him, to repent and turn from sin, to be baptized into Christ, to begin a life of faithfulness today, be filled with the Spirit. Look to the future. Jesus is coming back. Be prepared now for that future event and begin to see what God would have you do today to be a blessing in this world and to carry out his will even on this earth. If there are any who need to come to him, to the God who provides wisdom and strength, we invite you. Let's stand and sing together.